Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All righty, 1202 here on the fan. Tiki and Tierney inside the Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest prices on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So last week, Teek and I determined to help illuminate the great history of this amazing station, pioneer, best four letters in sports radio, WFAN 87. I remember when it flipped on. I was locked in, you know, in Marine Park. I was 13 when the station launched, and we're going to do this, you know, I mean, not forever. Eventually, mm-hmm. There's an expiration date on this, but since we just launched a couple of weeks back, we wanted to show respect. We wanted to, you know, engage with some of the great pioneers, great voices of the station. We had Joe B. last week, which was great. Joe Beningo was texting with Russ Salzberg. Russ is going to come on next week. And today, this is an extra thrill. I'm going to go for all of them, really. Hopefully, Susan Waldman joins us, and Dave Sims, Sid will join us. But this is a little different because in a former life, this guy was actually my partner. He's really one of the good dudes. Listen, if he wasn't a good dude, we wouldn't waste our time bringing him on. He's a true sports guy. He loves sports. He knows sports. He's just a real approachable, good person. Jody Mack is with us here on the field. Welcome back, Jody. What's going on, buddy?
Tiki, by the way, when he worked with me, he didn't need glasses. He wouldn't even begin to put glasses, reading or whatever. No, he was too worried about how good he was looking.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm glad to see that he's catching up with some of us as far as age goes, and he's got to put the reading glasses.
Yeah, he has to read more than I do. I can just kind of react because I need him too. I need him too, Jody. I just don't wear him.
Yo, Jody, it is what it is. And by the way, Joe, it's crazy that you say that because when you and I were working together, I mean, I was a really – certainly a very important, but also a very, you know, very different part of my life. I had just gotten engaged, then eventually got married. I remember, matter of fact, I remember leaving the studio the day of my bachelor party. You and I were working together, and I just remember him saying, Tiki said, dude, just come back in one piece. Come back.
Tell
in
me
one
you'll
piece.
Be alive by the time the bachelor party is over. Yeah. I kind of need you by my side here, buddy. And he did. God bless him.
I made it back. So Jody started, by the way, for those who don't know, Jody McDonald, the original weekend overnight host back in 87, talking wrestling, talking gambling, talking everything. And then in 99, if I have this right, full time. And you were with Susan on the middays for a little more than a year and three really good years with the very talented and out of his mind, our buddy Sid Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. So you've had quite the run here at the fan. Before we start talking shop about teams, et cetera, what was it like? What were you doing? Let me ask you this, Jody. What were you doing before you got on the overnight weekend session here on the fan? What was your first job?
I was an associate producer. My first job was at ESPN as a driver messenger. If you want to go even further back than that, right out of college, messenger. I was the public address announcer for the Albany Colony A's. Because I'm a SUNY Albany guy. And yeah, they hired me to be their first ever public address announcer.
Okay.
So I did that for a summer.
Did they have any guys that really made the show? Who was some of the stars? Anybody make it?
Yeah, Mike Gallego
was
on that team.
Yeah, Mike Gallego, shortstop, played for the Yanks too.
Stuck around in the bigs for a serious period of time.
Yeah.
Charlie O'Brien, the former Brewer catcher
yeah.
was on that Albany Colony A's team. They had a couple of guys that made it to the big. It was fun. I got to play whatever music I wanted to. Now batting for the Albany Colony A. Yeah, Bob Shepard, I wasn't, but they hired me. They get me employed for the winter before I went to ESPN, starting as a driver messenger. 3 years, made it my way up to associate producer. And then, yeah, submitted a tape for WFAN. They said, well, his father ran the Mets, and we're the Mets station, so we know he knows the Mets. How bad can he screw up the weekend overnights? And yeah, they gave me the gig, and I did it for a bunch of years before I went down to Philly and became a full-time guy.
So BT keeps telling me, Jody, about how you talked wrestling. Like, you did everything. You could talk all the sports.
Horse racing,
et cetera. How was wrestling received on sports radio? Because I can't imagine right now talking about WWE wrestling.
Jody, would you educate the man, Jody? Educate the man, Mac.
Right? You're saying you couldn't imagine it right now?
Yeah.
Do you know how big wrestling is?
I do, but I couldn't imagine talking.
You're living in your little sports bubble, buddy.
No.
It's on Fox. It's on USA.
But Jody, did people call you?
No, when I did it back in 87, it was trend-setting. I was taking a chance. It wasn't near as big as it is today. It's mainstream, big guy.
I don't think that we could talk wrestling.
Oh, I could. I mean, you'd be bored out of your mind, then maybe the audience, but I could do it. Mac, I'm with you.
But that's my question. Like, did people, like, respond to it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. To this day, I still get, hey, Jody, I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings to listen to you and Rich Mancuso. It's like ancient history, but 30 years ago, but people still say, Jody, I never missed a segment of that.
But, Jody, what were you talking about? Were you like, that was an unbelievable athletic feat? Like, what were you saying?
Sure.
What were you
and
saying?
Storylines and what Vince McMahon was doing because, video alert. Wrestling is fixed. I know that's going to surprise some people out there, but so you can talk about storylines and the guys in the shows that they're putting on. Oh, there's plenty to fill an hour every week on the weekend, sure.
Oh, I mean, listen, Mac, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how he and Ron, they grew up. I mean, I don't know how. Tiki and I are just about the same age. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was jumping off my dad's dresser, pretending I was Jimmy Snuka. One time I actually put, this is actually next level, probably weird and crazy. I actually cut my face a little bit on purpose.
Oh,
not bad.
Are you serious?
No, just to get a little blood dripping so I could do the promo. Yeah. I was out of my mind with this. Like, you missed the boat. Who was your favorite wrestler of all time, Mac?
Snuka was certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do go all the way back to Bruno Sammartino when I was a 9-year-old kid. So
yeah,
I've been watching this silly stuff for 50 years. You know who I liked? Who would be a guy that, shortly Tiki's not going to remember. I don't even know if you will remember. Ivan Putski.
The Polish Hammer. Of course I remember Putski, man.
Oh.
Come on,
Joe. Tremendous. Joey. Loved him. Had no ability to speak whatsoever. Wasn't all that great a wrestler.
No.
But he just had command in the ring.
He did.
That I appreciated greatly when I was 11 intrigued. Or whatever it was.
That's intrigue. You were intrigued by him,
Joey,
right?
Didn't he do a lot of I feel like he did a lot of six-man matches. Wasn't it? Didn't he team up with Andre the Giant a little bit?
Might have been.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I can recall that. I remember more as a singles.
No, I got you.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did tag team stuff.
So we're talking to Jody McDonald and the Mac Man. By the way, he's still active. He's still doing his thing all over Philly, national radio. He is deeply entrenched and he's far from done. But we wanted to get Jody on. 1987, original weekend overnight host, full time with Susan for a little bit and Sid. So I would imagine that those relationships were very different. And you worked with Sid a lot more than Susan. What was it like strapping in for a couple of hours every day with that maniac?
Sid made it fun. You had no idea what it was going to be like every single day walking into the studio. You could do the greatest show you'd ever done, or you could do the most cringeworthy show you'd ever done. You never knew. You didn't know until after the show was over and done with. And you go to Eddie Scazzeri. I go, no, you guys know him because he does Boomer and Carton these days and go afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to get fired?
Really?
Are we going to be employed again tomorrow? Did we dodge another bullet here, Eddie? Yeah. Sid was kind of like a roller coaster ride. The ups, the downs, the pit of the stomach, being a little restless. But when you got off the ride, you were always smiling.
Yeah.
Nice.
So BT gave me, he didn't give me crap about it, but you're a fan of two teams, Jets, right?
Oh, here we go.
And the Cowboys. And coming in.
Used to be a Cowboy fan. Haven't been a Cowboy fan for a decade.
But
at least minimum a decade.
Is there some sort of affinity still for them, though?
Cowboys?
Yes. Like if they were to win the Super Bowl, would you be like, screw the Cowboys? Or would you be like, it's good for the Cowboys? You know, I used to be a fan of them.
I don't dislike them. I don't have any disdain for them, but it would be the same as the Cincinnati Bengals winning it.
I don't believe you. I'm going to call you out on that, Mac. I don't believe that.
So BT misrepresented your fandom then. Let me ask you then, how did you switch from being a Cowboys fan to a Jets fan?
Oh, there was no switching involved. I'm a Jet fan since birth.
Mm.
I was alive when the Jets won the Super Bowl. I remember going outside and throwing a Jet football with my dad at halftime on our lawn in Yonkers, New York.
Wow.
That the Jets could actually win this damn game.
Wow.
And I've only been waiting 50-some-odd years for them to get back again. So, no, I've been a Jet fan my entire life. I appreciated the Cowboys because my father taught me about Roger Staubach, who went and fought for his country and won the Heisman. And that Tom Landry did it right, wore his hat, and was well-dressed. So my father sucked me in to be a Cowboy fan. I jumped on the bandwagon, and I rode it all the way through Jimmy Johnson. But when they fired Jimmy Johnson
Carol Owens. Okay, that's what I was after here. So let's get this right. So Jet fan from infancy, that's a great visual, by the way, throwing the ball around with your pop. That's awesome. We win the game. We beat the Colts, Super Bowl III. We haven't been back since. So in 1996, the last Cowboys championship, you were euphoric. I mean, you were still a Cowboy fan rather than us, who were 1-15 that year and 3-13 the previous year. You were still a devout Cowboy fan, correct?
I'd never say I rooted for the Cowboys over the Jets. If the Jets and Cowboys played, I would always root for the Jets.
Okay.
Cowboys and anybody else, yes, I would root for the Cowboys.
All right.
But Jerry Jones doing what he did, pushing Jimmy Johnson out the door, I think was idiotic and continues to prove to be idiotic since they haven't been back yet. And Barry Switzer's Super Bowl, please.
Yeah.
That was Jimmy Johnson's third Super Bowl. Barry was standing on the sideline, but that was Jimmy's.
Okay, but how about this, Mac? Aside from, say, Bo Derek and maybe some other posters that you had in the bedroom as a kid, did you have Dallas Cowboys posters or Jets posters?
No, Joe Willie.
All right, I'm just checking.
Those were my two guys. Quarterbacks, both number 12, Staubach and Joe Willie.
All right, Mac, I don't even know.
Which, by the way, Tiki, he's wrong again.
Why?
I used to do this with him all the time. If Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl, he's staying in Green Bay.
I think
he's
so
not going
as well.
Anywhere.
I don't think he would care.
I don't really want to be here anyway. I'm out of here.
I don't think he would care one iota about the New York Giants history and fixing the melees we've been in for the last half a decade. I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares one bit about that at all.
No, I'm with Tiki on that one. I think he would think that it's cool, but I don't think if he wins, that moves him out. If he wins, I think that makes him stay.
Uh-huh.
And he goes for a third.
Yeah.
If he loses, it's going to be somebody else's fault other than him. And he's going to want to get the hell out of town. And the Giants are as good a landing spot as anywhere else, except for maybe the West Coast. If you believe he's a Hollywood guy and he's dying to get out there, then the West Coast allure is probably where he'll end up. But if he's staying on the East Coast, could be the Giants.
Yeah.
One thing about Mac.
Yeah, his fiance's out there as well. Obviously, he loves the Hollywood stuff.
Is he still engaged? I think he's been engaged 5 times in the last 10 years.
At least twice.
I mean, going on. One thing Jody Mack is very good at, he has this incredible propensity to remember like erroneous predictions or sloppy takes and really hold it over your head forever. So, Mac, I'm going to give you a chance to clown me from the nearly 2 years you and I shared a studio. I want you to tell, and you can tell, I can laugh at myself. Give everybody the absolute worst take you ever heard me give you. There's a couple to choose from.
I don't even know if it was the worst, but it was ongoing, and you just never moved off it.
I think I know where he's going.
Danilo Gallinari was in his second year with the New York Knicks when BT and I were partnered, and he was competent to Dirk Nowitzki. And I'm going, BT, I don't know if it's a Goomba thing.
A little bit.
But you need to back it up a little bit here. He's a nice player. He can make threes. He makes all his foul shots.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a Dirk. You can't put him in the same sentence with Dirk.
Well, he hurt his back. He hurt his back. Like Mattingly, he was deprived of that Dirk level because he hurt his back, Mac.
Do you think that he's going to be as wrong with his...
What, Zach Wilson?
No, not Zach Wilson. Luka Doncic position... prediction as well.
25%. Well, I'm a little worried because the kid's never in shape. But no. I said, to be fair, this was 2 years ago.
It was.
Mac, I said 25% Bird, 25% Magic, 25% LeBron, and 25% Jason Kidd, 100% Transcendent. That's what I said when he burst on the scene.
You got a shot.
Yep,
I wouldn't say you hit the nail on the head, but I wouldn't dismiss it like Gallo being Dirk out of hand the same way. He's special. Yeah, Doncic is a special player.
He's shooting 29% he's shooting from three-point range this year. 29? What happened to him, man?
It's not that good.
No, not at all.
That's why I'm not talking about him that much.
I moved to local. Couldn't have it at a better time.
Who said that? I got a question for it, but I have to sneeze. Tiki, ask a question. I'll pick it up in a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. Kristaps Porzingis was the other one that he had a lot of affinity and affection for.
Now he's dead to me, though.
He's now gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I give BT credit for, because unlike Gallo, which he clinged to way too long, he got off the Porzingis train.
Okay, but now, Jody, I got to at least defend myself. First of all, he's obviously past his prime. And yes, I will admit, Gallinari never came close to the level of Nowitzki. However, if he didn't hurt his back and he was on this trajectory with Denver before he blew out his knee, where he was getting to the line a lot, he averaged 20 points a game. Let's not make it like he was a scrub, number one. Number two, why I was so sold on Gallo, I wanted the Goomba. That's part of it. I wanted the Knicks to finally have a European player. That was part of it. But I was at a game, and I used to go to every game back then, Jody, and you know that. And they're playing the Celtics, and I'm sitting under the baseline with Isola, Mark Berman, Alan Hahn, all those guys. I'm doing the Nick pre and post. And Kevin Durant is screaming, give me the ball. Pardon me, not Kevin Durant. Kevin Garnett, give me the ball. Give me the rock. Just not even trying to hide the fact that he's got the skinny white guy trying to check him. And he threw an elbow at Gallinari. I'll never forget this. Threw an elbow. Next time down the court, Gallinari demanded the ball, threw an elbow at Garnett, and made a fall-away 10-footer. And I said, this guy's got balls. That's what I like. And he had skill, but he had stones. But he was not Nowitzki. I'll take it on the chin for that. I will.
And here's where I got to give you and Gallinari credit. 13th year in the league. This is his 14th. In his 13th year last year, he was a key contributor to them making the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, right.
Not a starter, but coming off the bench, getting big buckets, playing small center.
How long
Gallo
was he with
playing
the
small center? The we Gallo I remember
I know, but how long?
Just stand behind the three-point line and launch bombs as a young Nick.
I know.
So he's developed his game and stuck around for 14 years. That's an accomplishment. I'll give you that much, BT.
Do you like Zach Wilson? Do you believe in Zach Wilson?
You and I went back and forth, and we used to text last year. Even when we're not doing shows together, we're still texting.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Justin Fields guy.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had very similar years this year. Both of them flashed.
Zach's better.
But when we'll see over time. We'll let the tiebreaker, Mr. Barbara, hop in here.
Yeah. Go ahead, T.
This year alone, what they accomplished, Fields and Wilson, I call it a push.
No.
You want to give a
Wilson's
nod
better.
One way or the other?
Yes.
Wilson's
more talented.
I think Wilson might be more talented. I think he actually works harder.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who has more talent? It actually probably is Justin Fields. But then
talent?
Overall, athleticism, talent, whatever, physicality. It's probably Justin Fields, but this is where the coaching is going to matter. This is where you get drafted means more than anything, right? It's Patrick Mahomes' situation. You get Mac Jones gets drafted to the right place. If Mac Jones is the Jets coach or Jets quarterback,
sure.
Think of how much trouble he would have had.
He'd be terrible.
He would have been terrible. Awful. But he got drafted to the right place. So much of it's going to determine who's the next coach of the Chicago Bears, and if it's an offensive-minded guy who can protect them.
Yeah, well, if the Bears hire a defensive-minded guy, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, that
they have to. It has to all be about Fields and who can make Fields the star he could be.
That's right.
That has to be the Bears' hire.
Couple of quick hits for you. We're talking to Jody McDonald, the Mac Man, original weekend overnight host back in '87 when the station launched. My former partner, full time here at the Fan for a nice 5-year run. Midday, Susan Waldman, 3 with Sid. That was a very good show, which I used to listen to. All right, I remember you tell me. We don't have a lot of time. I remember you tell me years ago though. That you did not carry an ATM card. You carried a wad of cash, and your stock. Okay, and your stock
still
line
do.
Was in case a game of cards ever busts out. Nice. Do you still not carry an ATM card?
Or a guy sends me a tip on a horse if I got to make a run to an OTB somewhere. You got to be able to put down cards. Yes, I have a debit card.
Okay.
No, I would never use it to buy a soda. I hate people go up to a soda machine. A soda's a friggin' buck and a half. If you don't got a buck and a half, why'd you leave the house? So, yes, I have a debit card, but I still have cash at all times. Right now, I guarantee I got at least $200 in my pocket.
Wait,
just
you
in case.
You can't use plastic at OTB?
No.
Where's OTB? Hey. Where's OTB?
He doesn't know wrestling. He really doesn't know.
Listen,
Matt.
I mean,
he has lived a sheltered life.
He's killing me.
No, I grew up in Southwest Virginia.
Him and Rondé grew up in a bubble. The Bubble Boys from Seinfeld. Tiki and Rondé, the Bubble Boys. Hey, Mac, I meant to ask you this. I think I asked you this years ago, but, you know, when your dad was the GM of the Mets, and let's end it up on this, in the 70s and... You know, it was a totally different franchise. First of all, too bad your pops didn't have Uncle Stevie writing the checks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been very different. It was such a god. Did you get to run around at Shea Stadium?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Stadium and mess around, like shag balls and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I used to run up and down the ramps. That was my high school year, so I was still playing ball at the time. So I would go out and work out in Shea all the time in the clubhouse. I know you're on a break. You got 90 seconds?
Yes. Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
One of the years my father was a general manager, it was John Stearns.
Catcher.
Wanted to buy this new great Peloton before it was Peloton, like exercise bike. And he wanted the Mets to buy it.
Okay.
And my father said, we just spent $600 on a new bike for the clubhouse. Stearns said, don't worry. If you put up half, I'll collect the money from the rest of the guys. We'll split the cost between the players and the team. My father said, all right, fine. You need this super exercise bike. John Stearns went to every guy on the team. It was like $30 a piece or something like that. Who's the only guy who didn't pay?
Let me guess. The only guy that Dave Kingman.
Dave Kingman. Exactly right.
I nailed it.
The highest paid guy on the team had more money than anybody else. Kingman said, well, they just bought a new bike. Why? It was $30 for Dave Kingman.
Kingman, get out of here, Kingman.
The highest paid guy on the team wouldn't pay.
Kingman,
so, yes,
take a
hike. Yes, I used that exercise bike. Kingman never did. Jody McDonald did in the Mets clubhouse.
He was miserable, Kingman, from what I've read. He hit bombs when he hit him, but man, Jody, we could do this all day. You and I obviously have a relationship off the air, but I wanted to get you on. You still have a spot in the hearts of many FAN listeners, but part of the fabric.
I hope
forever.
I get a gig with FAN. I did shows last year. It's been a hot minute since I've been on, but I hope Mr. Eskin throws me a shift or two sometime in the near future.
All right, Spike, get him on the air. You hear it? There we go. We've been here 3 weeks. We have We have 1/1,000,000th of juice that Boomer has, so I don't know if that's going to do anything, but probably about 1/1,000,000th of contract as well. Mac, we love you. New York loves you. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate
Thank you.
You, Jody. Be good, man.
Anytime you guys need me, all you got to do is ask.
You got it. Jody McDonald, the Mac man. So, Dove, you worked with him. Good cat. Not a false pretense, not a bad bone
one of
in that
best
man's
guys
body.
On the planet.
Yep. Always in a good mood. Always genuine.
Not always.
No.
But
sincere. Like genuinely
yes,
sincere.
Yes, real. Very real.
Yes, he is. I had a lot of fun with Mac back in the day. All right, quick timeout. 877-337-6666. By the way, next week, Russ Salzberg is going to jump in. And then we'll get the schmooze and hopefully Dave Sims and Susan Waltman. Sweeney Murdy next hour. What's the 2022 Yankees lineup going to look like? Coming up next, we can reset the Knicks stuff, have a little fun with some of the old FAN stuff like Jody Mack, giant quarterback stuff. Your calls, more of them coming up next. Tiki and Tierney here on The Fan, 1231. Sweeney Murdy. We're going to get the Sween Man up at 1. And we're going to talk about what will the 2022 Yankees lineup, whenever the hell the 2022 season starts, what it's going to look like. By the way, you see what Correa did?
No.
The realignment with Mr. Boris' agents, which means that's an extra $50 million. We'll see.
For whoever signs
for whomever
him.
It is. Yes. And I don't think it's going to be the Yankees. I think there's still a bit of a pipe dream, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe Sweeney's got a bit of a different feel. I don't think Correa. I would take him. You know, this whole nonsense, oh, the cheating scandal. Give me about a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If you get, if you get better deep. Yeah. I mean, I don't need. Listen,
Yankees
aren't. Player.
Yankee fans aren't over that as a team, but as individuals, you probably could forgive it.
Here's where I think it would resurface. Like, if they ever brought in Carlos Correa and he was 1-for-22 to start in April, mm-hmm. assuming the season starts somewhat on time, the boos would be even more venomous than they were for early Tino over when he replaced Mattingly and, you know, all Giambi finally had his moment. I think it was that the granny or the home run against the Twins in the rain.
Yeah,
you know how the whole Yankee moment, you have to have that.
You got to earn it.
But we would be tougher on him if he started poorly because of what happened. But if he started well, we wouldn't care. We would just be pumped. I mean, let's be honest, you know? How about, let's go to Justin's in Dobbs Ferry. And Justin is on the Fan with Tiki and Tony.
Hey, what's
Justin,
going on, guys?
What's up?
I know, BT, I know you said before about WWE. I just want to say RIP to me and Gene Okerlund.
Yeah,
that's right.
You never realized. But
he was so good at his job, too. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you never realized how much an announcer means to you until you look back at it. Mm. But going into the Giants quarterback situation, I mean, there's going to be a Super Bowl winning champ in the offseason here. Chicago holding three quarterbacks. I think Nick Foles might be available. I think he might be a casualty of holding three quarterbacks there. He played in the NFC East. You know, he won some games. He won a Super Bowl. So I think he could fit in to the system here until we figure out what's going to be the
I don't love Nick Foles. I mean, I actually really like Nick Foles as a guy. Just having met him and spent some time with him and talked to him, he's a great dude. I just don't love him for what the Giants might be looking to do. And they're actually not holding three because Andy Dalton's a free agent. I know he was on the team last year, and you're talking Fields, Dalton, and then Nick Foles, but Andy Dalton's free. Nick Foles, I think, has a year left, so he'd be available. But you're not going to give up anything for Nick Foles, you know what I mean? So he's still in the contract.
Right, Jets gave up something for Flacco. maybe he could coerce a six-round pick out of him.
Yeah, but what was that, week 12? Because they were desperate.
That was so dumb.
They were fine with what they had, so they didn't need to do it.
And he wasn't even vaccinated. I mean, if you're going to give up, how do you bring in a quarterback that's not vaccinated?
That was bad.
That's not even going to play.
That was a bad deal.
It was a sixth-rounder, but that was an odd move by Joe Douglas.
He played a game.
He did play. I know.
A game.
I know.
It was pointless.
Trust me, I did not want him to play. Let's go to Sully, who's out in Holtsville, and Sully is on the Fan. Sully.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
What's up?
Thanks for taking the call. I was hoping to catch Jody at the same time. Brandon, I don't, you remember I used to call you and Jody all the time
back
on the other side of town.
I remember you, Sully. How you been, buddy? Okay?
Good. Doing well.
Good.
Thank you. Congratulations on the show. Good
Thanks,
best
pal.
Of luck.
Thank
Appreciate
you, man.
And you're right about Jody. Bad calls. I used to call in all the time, tell you guys the minor league is from A ball for the Yankees that were coming. And I had this kid, Pete O'Brien, a catcher. I said, he's gonna do it, Joe. This is the kid. He till this day How's Pete O'Brien doing, Sully?
About as well as Charlie O'Brien, hitting 210.
He torches. He doesn't forget. I mean, he's like he's amazing when he doesn't forget.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Listen, while you were talking about the Jets and Giants and with Jody with the two, you know, who was his team and stuff, I'm older than Jody, so I used to be a Giants fan before they ever wore Jets. And then when the Jets came in, you know, you paid a little bit of attention. Then Joe Willie came in. Wow. Okay. You know.
So you switched?
No, I didn't switch.
Okay. Gotcha.
I didn't switch. There was no reason to switch.
I hear you, man.
It was two separate leagues. Basically, they had no interaction. One game was on one channel. One was on the other. I watched both games. Mm-hmm. I rooted for both teams. It's not like Yankees and Mets or anything like that. They had nothing to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they merged. And by the way, at 15, that was the first bet I ever won, $100. $100 for a 15-year-old.
Nice. Wow.
And that's a big deal in the 60s, man, early 60s.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Me and Jody always talk about, you know, horses and stuff. So I've been doing that since then.
And let me guess, you're not up in your whole life. Nobody
No. I got to tell you.
Come on, Sully. Come on. I gamble a little bit. You're not up. Stop.
I made a killing one time on Let It Ride. A killing.
I like that game, by the way.
And I tell you, you know, if you pull, you know, straight flush or something like that with the right money up front, you can sit on that for a long time.
Now, not 50 years, Sully, though.
No, that's true. I mean, it's not the 401k. It's not the 529 for the kids.
I don't do this every single day, but for example, I got four bets for the before the season.
Okay.
Fourteen futures. I have Green Bay, the final four from last year. If Green Bay or Tampa Bay or Buffalo or Kansas City make the Super Bowl, a $50 bet, for example, with Green Bay and Buffalo, $2,000.
50 wins you $2,000. So, $2,000.
Okay,
$2,000. Nice.
Now of course you're $500.
Yeah,
$2,000.
Absolutely.
That bet.
Yeah.
So you do it in the futures.
I got you.
130. Gets you 1840, I think, for
the other
for
two.
Tampa Bay.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get this guy signed up for BetQL.
Yeah, but hold on, T. Here's what he's doing, T. And Saul, thanks for the call. He's doing what everybody does. He's telling us what he's winning. You know, if we want to have a different conference, and Saul, I'm just messing around, but you know that I'm right. Anybody who gambles, and hopefully you just gamble responsibly, and you don't bet above your means, and you don't dip into things that could really alter your life and really destroy you.
And that's really hard to do.
I think you just have to be personality.
If you've won a lot and you feel like you're always playing with house money, it's really hard to just sit and say, all right, I'm good.
Well, that's okay. That's actually how I bet. Like, if I'm up a little bit, and I don't really bet much during the summer, I might take, like, if I'm bored, like, the Yanks are playing the Orioles, let me throw $100 on the over, it's 9.5, Yanks will score, hit 6 home runs, whatever. But I like to kind of start football season right around zero, you know? Although I might jump into the NBA Finals, a little golf here and there, but very minimal stuff just to get a little sweat, keep it fun. But what you should do is increase the bet when you actually increase the profit. Mm-hmm. So when you're up, you want to go a little bit more. That's fine. When you start chasing and, I got crushed this week. Let me go a couple of dimes on Monday Night Football because I got waxed on Saturday and Sunday. That's when you're digging a hole that's no longer fun. And that's when it becomes very problematic. And I'm not here to preach, but we all know what Sully's telling us on the air is not a real indication of what's happening behind the scenes. But his point about the game, Let It Ride, I know you never played Let It Ride, right?
No, I did.
Hoff, you ever played Let It Ride? Yes or no? You ever played the game Let It Ride in the casino? The first time I played that game, now, it's the worst odds in the casino. Among the worst. Like, the Let It Ride odds are awful. But the first time I went to Las Vegas, right after I graduated college, this was probably 97, me and my buddy found some cheap deal. We stayed in the Excalibur, which is pretty much a dump, whatever. And we walked into we're wasted, dude. I mean, we just had a blast, and we don't even know what we're doing. It's like 3 o'clock. I've never played Let It Ride in my life. And I hear the song. And you hear it. You go, ride, 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 let it. And it just sucks you in. And then I think I lost my shirt, whatever, even though I had no money, then I learned how to play a little bit. It's actually a fun game if you play smart because you can pull back the first two. So you can play for a couple of hours, not lose a ton, get a couple of free drinks and have fun, but the odds are bad. But it is a fun game. Let It Ride is actually pretty decent.
Can I tell you the first time I ever played Let It Ride?
Yeah.
I never again will this ever happen, but I got a pocket pair of nines.
Okay.
So I'll let it ride.
Of course.
They flip over a nine.
Oh, here we
go. Flip over another nine.
No way.
Quad nine. Yeah.
What were the odds on that? I don't even know. It was like 100 to 1?
It was ridiculous. I think I played the bonus, too, on top of that.
You got to always play the bonus. How much did you win that hand? Thousands.
I think it was like, because I didn't play. It was the first time I ever played it. I didn't know what I was doing, so I played like $5 hands or whatever. It was like,
so you still had to win $600-$700.
$1,250, I think it was.
Okay, I was going to say, that's
not thousands, but like $1,250.
Gotcha. Nice. I like it.
And then after that, it went downhill.
Of course, like everything else. Yep, when you gamble longer.
Because you had, you're like, dude, I got $1,200.
Hell yeah.
I'm good. I can't lose.
You should have taken half of the $1,250, walked over to roulette, thrown it down on a color. You have 50-50 odds, and maybe you lose. But if you lose, you still have $600 left from the let it ride. If you win, you're up to $1,850. That's how you gamble.
I was a rookie. That was my first time ever.
I got you. Dove's head is spinning. Dove, have you ever placed a bet?
Yes.
Nice, Dove. Attaboy.
Did you win?
This is when I was in my late 20s, I think, with the AC.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Did you win? We just need to know. That's all we need to know. Nice. Attaboy. Dove, wheeling and dealing. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney up until 2. We have Sweeney at 1 on the Yankees. Then it's Carton and Roberts coming up next on the... All right, 877-337-6666. And we've got Sweeney Murdy coming up top of the hour, 10 minutes from now. So... two things we'll tackle, Teague. Mm-hmm. Most realistic end of the lockout, number one. And number two, best guess from Sween, opening day 2022 Yankees lineup.
Lineup or rotation?
Well, I mean, encompassing area. I'm more about the lineup.
You more care about the rotation?
Well, I think they need both, quite frankly. Yeah. I think they'll get another arm, I do. They've got to solidify first base. No matter how much we see, Luke Voit clean lifting or jerking, whatever. I don't even know what he clean jerk or clean lift, whatever. What was deadlift?
Clean and jerk.
Okay. That was just a deadlift, actually. They had him on.
Come on.
I'm not doing that. Was he pencil lifts?
Was it from the ground?
Yes.
And he just stopped once he got upright.
He bent over his waist, yes.
And he stopped when he got upright.
Correct.
That's a deadlift.
That's what I thought. So yes. He was doing deadlifts there.
And if he pulled it fast and pulled it
that's
to
the
his
clean
chest,
jerk.
That's a clean. Yeah. And the jerk is to over his head.
You're a jerk. What are you calling me a jerk for? As many times as we see Luke Voit doing that, and I like Luke, but he's probably going to have to. We need a real first baseman here, and I don't know that Rizzo will be back. First base needs to be addressed. Shortstop needs to be addressed. I would address catcher. Doesn't look like they will, but I would. Outfield needs to be addressed a little bit. Starting pitcher needs to be addressed. They need to do a lot. So we'll see what Sweeney says coming up at 1 here on The Fan. Go to South River, New Jersey. Brian is on with Tiki and Tierney. Brian, how are you today?
Hey, Brandon and Tiki. How you guys doing?
Good, Brian. What's up, man?
Great, bud.
Hey, got a comment and a question in regards to the Giants. The comment is, I'm a little older than you guys, and in regards to Danny Jones, I can remember vividly back when Phil Simms was drafted, and his first couple of years, man, people hated him. They wanted to run him out of town. He had some injuries.
Yep.
And again, I'm not saying Danny Jones is going to be the next Phil Simms, but I do see, I have seen enough where I think the kid can win, So having said that, the question would be, why would the Giants then sign a guy like? Because wouldn't you consider? I'm sure both of you guys would consider Danny a running quarterback. Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. But you don't want to do that if he's gonna get hurt. Like, it's one thing if he had a soft tissue injury that kept him out for 6 weeks, or he broke
a fractured wrist,
broke a finger, or something like that. But you have a neck injury?
Yeah.
Like, how can you take contact comfortably? Mm. Again, I know it's been done before, but that's the only reason I hear what you're saying, Brian, and you're absolutely right. But I worry about a neck injury on a quarterback who wants to be an athlete.
Brian, let me just throw this in real fast. This is very important about Daniel Jones, and Tiki's absolutely right. And if we are afraid of him running, then really what kind of quarterback do we have? That might be his best asset.
Yeah.
What are we left with?
Understood. So, but we know in all likelihood, we're going to have him as our quarterback again going into the season.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So,
and I'm okay with that, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, as am I. As you guys can tell, I'm a fan of the guys, and I'd like to see him succeed, but, it's kind of do or die this year.
Yes.
But the thing that made me scratch my head, and listen, obviously Glennon was horrible, and I didn't think it was a horrible signing when I first did it, but I'm thinking, this guy is completely the opposite of Jones. So if Jones goes down, What are you going to do with the offense?
No, I see what you're saying.
You're going to have all these running plays.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. He doesn't have the same skill set, and so you basically limit your offense to something that he hasn't practiced really, because the backup doesn't take reps. Appreciate your call, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
And he's actually not that good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, though, here's the thing. You mentioned about, you know, what Daniel Jones, if he can't run the football. His first year, he actually threw the ball really well. Like, and he didn't run it a lot in that his first year when he was backing up Eli. I forget, Eli
he
was
ran
hurt.
Against Tampa his first game.
He did, but it was kind of accidental.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So, I mean, he threw for 300 yards a couple weeks his first season.
I think he's got a good arm.
He does.
I do.
The question is, you know, where's the evolution in him?
Because
it still feels like he's the same as he was when he was a rookie, which was really good, but he hasn't taken steps to say, well, this is definitely our franchise guy.
All right, I'm going to flip something on you, and I want to hear how you answer this, okay? Do you believe that he can be a top 5-6-ish quarterback in the NFL?
No.
Okay, neither do I.
No.
Which means you get rid of him. Because based on the stats that you told us about being a Hall of Fame quarterback to win the Super Bowl, if you ain't 5-6-7 in the NFL, you're definitely not going to be a Hall of Famer.
I got it from Kyle Shanahan when I did the 49ers game. He said, if you're not top 15, you're going to get replaced. They're trying to replace you. This is what he told Jimmy Garoppolo, who had just taken them to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He told his quarterback after they drafted Trey Lance, hey, you know, Jimmy, this is what happens. If you're not a top 15 guy in the league, we're going to try to replace you, period. And they're in the postseason, and they're about to, you know, play in the divisional round. But Jimmy Garoppolo's not top 10, top 15 in the NFL right now.
No.
And so despite him pushing them in the postseason, which is something I think Daniel Jones could do if the team is right, he's always going to have that, well, we might be able to do better than you. He's very comparable to Jimmy Garoppolo in that sense. Like, he's got some really good attributes, and he can throw the ball really well in moments. He's an athlete. He can scramble and get things done with his feet. But it always feels like there's going to be a limitation with him. And that's the Jimmy Garoppolo problem. It just feels like there's a limitation with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And if they have a great run game and their defense plays solid like they did last weekend, then they can win football games and, hell, maybe even get to the Super Bowl. But it's not because your quarterback is a top five quarterback.
But I feel like there's fewer limitations with Jones. I feel like just in terms of pure talent.
I think you're right.
I think Daniel Jones is a little bit more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think you're 100% right.
I do.
But Jimmy has this winner.
Well, he's got optimal circumstances around him.
This is true. This is very
true. He's got great coaching. He's got great running backs every year.
Great offensive line.
Terrific tight end, who's not always healthy, to be fair. But a great game-changing tight end in Kittle.
Healthy enough. Yep.
He's got a good organization.
That's right.
Giants need to get back to becoming a good organization, which is what this offseason is all about. All right, speaking of offseasons and speaking of organizations chasing what they once were, come on, maybe the Yankees will remember that they're the Yankees and they'll get back to being the Yankees. For that to happen, they've got to do some things once this lockout ends. What's on the radar? What do we expect? When is the lockout going to end? Sweeney Murdy, Yankees, next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.